Good evening. When you hear that original music, you know it's time for The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Tonight's going to be a little different. We're going to take a break from the Pentecost Protocol. We'll pick that up next week. Tonight, I feel led to just talk to you from the Spirit. We're scheduled to go for 60 minutes. We probably will, but you don't know. I will end when the Spirit says I'm done at whatever point that is. But I want to welcome you. I want to thank you. For those of you that support what we do here, I am especially thankful. Some of you have made that $5, $10 and more monthly commitment. And I want you to know, even if I don't respond to an email about the monthly report, I pray for you and it is greatly appreciated. Right now, everything is going into the studio. Studio's in progress. Work is being done. But we're going to start here with kind of a praise report, prayer request. It looks good. It's going to look good. But we've had a little bit of a delay. And I'll explain that in a little while. So we still need some time to work things out. Let's just get right to it. We have praise and prayer and a bunch of things. As I was talking about the studio, it's coming together, but much slower than expected. I really expected to be mostly done by now. If you remember about 8-9 weeks ago, I mentioned I got a severe leg injury, and that injury has caused some issues with my other leg. And so due to the lingering injury issues, everything slowed down. But I'm okay with that because it's in His timing. And if He's allowing it to slow me down, then I just need to be still. We can't get caught up in our own schedule and our own agendas. You know, we can't look up to heaven and say, well, Lord, I want this done now. It's His will, His time. Too many Christians fight windmills. They look for things to do. They look to keep themselves busy because they don't want to deal with whatever's going on in their life. I've been there, done that. Doesn't change anything because all those issues are still there when you're done. So we need to follow the Spirit, and that's what we've been talking about. So as far as the studio goes, I'm letting the Spirit do His thing. If He wants me to bring in people to pay them to do work that I thought I was going to be able to do, that's fine. It gives me an opportunity to witness to people, to tell them about what the studio is about, to share with them what I believe. And so I am just rolling with the flow. And I hope that you'll keep that in prayer for healing for me in my body and also for my wife. Last week, Stacy in Fort Mitchell sent her in a request. The prayer request was about the VA. She's a veteran. They're not returning her calls. Usually, when the government doesn't return your call, that's their subtle way of saying, we don't want to talk to you. And she's not coping well with the stress, and she wants to get in to see a doctor, and the earliest appointment they'll give her is October. Well, we're really moved by how much the VA cares for our soldiers. Not. All you have to do is listen to the news and see how little they actually care for our soldiers. So continue to pray that the Lord will give her favor, that He'll move her request to the top of the pile, and that anything she's owed, any compensation, this appointment, whatever it is she needs, shall be done in Yeshua's name. Not too long before we came on the air, Kathy in Orlando sent me this praise report prayer request. She has been witnessing to a gay friend of hers who is partnered and getting married. I did that little finger quotation thing, married. He's always rejected the gospel and Yeshua as just another guy, and that when we die, we're just worm food. Well, she did not let that stop her. She kept sharing the gospel, and recently he responded to what she was saying and wanted to know why Jesus was necessary. That's the opportunity when that window cracks open, the The wind of the spirit has to fly in. And I'm reading her note now. That was an incredible breakthrough. My heart leapt as I explained sin and grace and why we fleshly humans had to have a perfect blood sacrifice to reconcile us to God and how you can freely repent and receive that gift. He seemed truly fascinated. Instead of mocking it as usual, he had a really deep thought look on his face. I'm so encouraged because I could tell he had never heard that part before. I also explained lovingly to him why I care so much about him receiving Messiah, receiving Christ, because I don't want to spend eternity in paradise separated from my friend. Said, praise God for that opportunity and pray that the seeds planted will take root and lead to his salvation. So I need somebody out there to commit to pray for Kathy's friend. You don't need to know his name. The Lord knows who you're talking about. Debbie in Washington, a couple of weeks ago, I think I shared with you, it could have been last week. I feel like I've been run over by a truck and I didn't get the number on the plate. Debbie in Washington, she sent me a letter. She likes to do things the old-fashioned way. Somebody's got to keep the post office in business. She praises the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and for what she's learning here on the porch, I am deeply humbled by when somebody says to me, I'm learning more about the Holy Spirit listening to you than I have in all the years in church. So she's praising the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and she wants prayer for her family. She wants prayer for salvation for her family members. I need somebody out there, someone to commit to pray for Debbie's husband, to pray for his salvation. And I mean pray. I don't just a casual shotgun, hope you hit something in the heaven prayer. Get serious about it. Let's pray this man into the kingdom. She gave me a list of her family members that I will now add to my list when I pray for her. And I am thankful and I praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit's meeting you, Debbie, you and your family and your children who will be listening to this where you are. And I just pray, sincerely pray, that everything you need beyond anything you can think or imagine would be yours. Angelica in Ohio, a regular listener and supporter, there were months that she was like one of three people that kept this thing going. Needs healing, heart, mind, and body. And I pray for her every day as I do for everybody else. So remember her in your prayers that God would restore her back to her divine design. A lot of things going on in the world, and I'm going to take us into prayer with this fact that since Yeshua walked the earth, 70 million people who believed in him, 70 million what the world called Christians, have been martyred for their faith in him. Let me say that again. Over the last 2,000 years, 70 million people have been killed because of their faith in Jesus of Nazareth. Christian deaths have doubled every year since 2013. There's a man being held in an Iranian prison, Pastor Saeed, along with three other Americans. And in the current historic deal that's been all over the news, their release was not a part of it. I'm going to be careful here about what I say. I'm simply going to say, I am appalled. I am disgusted. I am saddened. This man is being beaten. He's being tortured. And his only crime is that he's a preacher of the gospel, that he tells the good news. Excuse me. We have to care. We have to care about these people. We have to care about those that are our brothers and sisters in Messiah. Interestingly enough, if we look at Revelation, and I'm going to take the word into the prayer, so bear with me. Revelation 6, starting with verse 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. And then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Right there, Revelation 6, verse 11. It's going to get worse. But there is a set number. And when it's done, he's done. Father, we come to you now in the name of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We come to you, I do, anyway, with a broken heart. For those that have been slaughtered, tortured, burned to death, hacked to death, simply because they've made you Lord of their life. We pray for them first. We pray right now for those that are being persecuted and those that will be martyred. And we pray that the number will soon be enough. We thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you that you shed your blood for us. We thank you that you're not in the grave. The tomb is empty. And we thank you for the upper room when you gave us the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul and our spirit and everything that is within us. We love you. And we love you, Father, because you loved us even when we were unlovable. We thank you now for this time. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who's helping me even now as I speak, hold it together. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you teach us and remind us of Yeshua and everything he said and did. We thank you that you fill our heart with love, that you fill our spirit and our soul and our mind with the word. We thank you for the fire that burns within us and the light that emanates from us. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do, the fruit that we can feed on and others can feed on with us and that we can feed them with. And we thank you for the gifts that empower us and help us to do this job. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you still restrain that which needs to be restrained, but it seems to me your grip is loosening by choice. And we thank you for when, Lord, you're going to come home. You're going to come and get us and bring us home. But until then, we tarry. We take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah. We claim the mind of Messiah, and we cast down every vain imagination that would exalt itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your spirit. And we thank you for the technology that allows us to come together, separated by miles and continents and oceans, to touch and agree and to come into agreement. We thank you for all these things. In Yeshua's name, amen. Now, as I play this sound of the show for you, here's what I want you to do. If you have loved ones that are not saved, if you have people that need the Lord, whatever their sin is, it doesn't matter, whatever bondage they're in, just like Kathy's friend, while that sound plays, you pray for them. You call their name out to the throne room, and you let the vibrations of that shofar take the sound with you and with what your spirit and your heart is saying, and bring it before the Lord. Well, yeah, I'm going to play the longer clip so that we can do this right. And I will end it when the Spirit says end it. As I told you, I'm just going to speak from the heart. I'm just the spirit. And I have been spending a little bit of time together over the last couple hours. I sat here a couple hours ago not knowing what I was going to say or do. Not even sure if I was physically up to it. So I'm just going to share from the heart what I believe the Spirit has given me. One of the things He gives us during times like this is inspiration. You know, last week we talked about the Spirit gives. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's not easy to do. Getting weary is very easy to do. Losing heart is very easy to do. And becoming heart sick is so dangerous. They've now proven that there are strings of tissue and ligaments that inside your heart that when you become stressed, they become damaged. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. Keep your heart, your mind, your soul, and spirit, keep it on Him. Take it off the world. Take it off the news. Take it off of whoever it is you listen to, whether it's Glenn Beck or one of these theological eggheads or one of the fringe people out there that are clogging the internet. Stop listening to these people that are preaching doom and gloom and listen to that which gives you hope. And the only one who gives you hope is Yeshua. And the only place you can find that is in the Word. And if people are teaching or preaching or speaking and it's not wrapped up thickly in the Word and in Scriptures, stop wasting your time. You know, last week I surprised some of you with my comments about the Oregon Bakers and their lawsuit where they got sued by two lesbian women that were getting married and wanted them to make the cake, and they said no, and they got sued, and the judge ruled against them for $135,000, and then when they didn't pay it on time last week, the county began proceedings to take their home, and everybody's up in arms, and everybody's crying about what about our rights, and I said some things that I know shocked some of you. But I'll say it again. We have no rights in this world. The Lord told us that. And I wondered, did they ask the Lord what to do? And I would probably assume probably not. They went upon based upon what they thought was right. Well, there is a way that is right, but it leads to death. And in this, their case, destruction. I would have made, they could have made, I can't tell you what I would have done. I would hope that I would have made the right decision. But they could have made a Holy Spirit-inspired cake. They could have made the best cake in the world and did it as a witness. Because the truth is, making that cake would have not have changed their standing with the Lord. Making that cake would not have smudged or blurred their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeshua predicted that we would encounter hostility and persecution. So why are we so shocked that it's finally shown up in America and we are whining and crying? And I want to say to all these Christians out there, you want some crackers with that wine. Enough. Look what it says in Matthew, starting with verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, the context from which he said this, of course, is the Sermon on the Mount. When he went up on the mountain and there were thousands of people sitting there, and he began to open his mouth teaching to them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And then, of course, we go to the blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But see, that's not popular in today's church. Persecution? Oh, no, no, no. That's for elsewhere. That's not for here. I'm an American sitting in my pew with my fat spiritual bottom, opening my mouth like a little bird to be fed, and I'll never hunger, I'll never thirst, I'll never suffer, I'll never be persecuted, I'll never be put in prison, I'll never shed blood. Oh, yeah, we will. But it's in those moments, it's in this moment of darkness, as I've sat here in my office and I've wept, for the condition of the body, I've wept for how the enemy is running amok on the earth with very little resistance. I've wept at those that are being supported and have their bank accounts full of the ear ticklers. But it's always been that way, and it always will be that way. But I know that when the darkness comes, it's our opportunity to shine. And I think the Spirit wants us to burn. He wants us to shine. He wants us to show the people how to find their way home to the Father. Because in the darkness and in the storm, in the calamity, in the bloodshed, in the craziness, they're looking for somebody who's not afraid. They're looking for somebody who has an answer. And I look at Isaiah 60, and I know it's a prophecy for Israel, but I believe it applies to those of us that have been grafted into the vine. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and a deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." Which then, of course, takes us into the messianic prophecy in 61, where it starts out, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Which ties us back to Luke 4:18, when the Lord came out of the wilderness. But it goes on, "The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Well, we know that the oil is the Holy Spirit. The oil of joy is the Holy Spirit. And if you're mourning, if you're grieving, if there's something in your life that you can't seem to let go of, pray for the oil of joy. Put on the garment of praise. Throw on some anointed praise and worship music. Begin to praise. Maybe you don't need the music. Just begin to sing to him from your heart. Sing psalms to him. Sing words to him. If you have a prayer language, sing in your prayer language to him. Open up your soul and let the Spirit shine out of you. See, Israel had a hope that took time to manifest, just as we have a hope of his return that is taking time to manifest. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible, which we now understand to be quantum physics. And he spoke everything into existence, and he holds it together with the sound of his voice. And when we begin to sing and we begin to praise, we enter into that element. We enter into that same essence that he is holding it all together with, and he inhabits our praise, and it comes together with us. So right now where you are, right now in your home, right now, I don't care where you are, stop worrying about what other people think. That family member that's lost, pray for their salvation. Pray for a reconciliation. Pray for the darkness to come off of them. Pray for the bondage to be broken from them. Pray for the scales to come off their eyes, and speak it from your heart, and wash it in your tears, and fill the heavens with it until it happens. Both Israel and the Book of Acts church, because by the way, they were Jewish, they understood troubling times. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Messiah in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the world. There's nothing strange about what's going on right now to the church. The only surprise is that so many people have believed the lie. It is amazing to me as I sit here, knowing people, reading comments on social media of people that claim that they are born again and they know him, and realizing that they don't. And I know that sounds harsh, and I don't mean it to be. When you read their comments, or you hear their words, or you talk to them, or you see the people that they listen to, or the people that they quote, and you sit back and you go, how can they be this way? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he guides us into all truth. And he reminds us what Yeshua said in his word. How are they so easily fooled? It's no wonder that within years after the crucifixion and the resurrection, Timothy had to be encouraged, because the falling away had already begun. Isn't that amazing? I get 2,000 years later, but 60 years later, 30 years later, falling away had already begun. Many of the people that saw the Lord were still alive, that walked with him and experienced their miracles. Some of them had miracles done in their lives by the Lord himself, by the apostles, and they were beginning to doubt, and they were beginning to believe false teachings. When Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus the Messiah, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Stop preaching other people's ideas. Stop preaching other people's theology. Stop preaching other people's revelation. Preach the word. Yes, I wrote a book, but if you've read the book, you'll know that it's filled with scripture. And it's filled with Hebrew, and it's filled with Greek, so much so that it drove the optical character generator for the printer crazy, and they never told me, and that's why, unfortunately, there are so many typos. Thankfully, the ebook person pointed out, hey, your Hebrew and your Greek and some of these scriptures are driving everything crazy. Well, you know what? The word drives everything crazy, even drives software crazy, and it should. Because it doesn't make sense as far as the world is concerned. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The New Living Translation of verse 2 is, preach the word, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. You know when the best time is to preach the word? Anytime. Kathy was talking to a friend. The door opened. She didn't hesitate. She didn't wait. I don't want to offend him. I'll get it next time. She told him the truth in love. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Because they're going to reject the truth and they chase after myths. Oh, there's no hell. Everybody goes to heaven. That's a myth. Keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that he has given you, the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody wants a calling. Oh, I have a calling to sing. No, you want a calling to sing. What you want is a calling to be on stage in front of people, and you have a vanity and a pride issue. How about humbling yourself and getting a calling to cleaning the bathroom? We have to fight the good fight, folks. We got to finish the race, and we got to keep running for as long as it takes. It isn't the quickest. It's the one who lasts. This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. Because the crown of righteousness which the Lord is going to give us on the day of his return is worth winning. And it's for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Yes, did you not know that according to 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, you get a crown just for eagerly looking forward to his appearing? And I know many people that will not get that crown. Be ready in season and out. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. I've told you the story before, but over the past week, I've had a number of people that I started out in the acting business together pass away, and they weren't that old. One was in his early 50s, the other in his early 60s. But there was one person, and I've told this story a couple of years ago. There was a guy that I used to do acting work with that if you saw him, you'd know him. His name was Mario, and he obviously was Italian. We knew each other from the business, lived not too far from each other in Long Island City. The best way to describe Mario was he looked at like he had crawled out from under a rock and somebody put clothes on him. He was big and wasn't very good looking, and he was very strong. When he wasn't acting, he was an enforcer for a loan shark. And everybody was afraid of him, but for whatever reason, on a movie set one time, he sat down next to me and wanted to have coffee with me, and we struck up a friendship. When I got fired from the job I had in New York at a health club, I saw Mario on a movie set about a week or two later. And I began to tell him what had happened. And I noticed Mario took out his little pad with his little pencil that he used for making the list of names of people that he would have to go convince to pay their debt. And I'm noticing taking notes, and then he says to me, well, where's the office for this company? And I'm telling him, I looked at him and said, Mario, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to hang somebody out a window until you get your job back. And I laughed and said, Mary, I love you for doing that, but now it's okay. And the reason I tell you, this man was simple, but he had a heart of gold, and he was incredibly loyal to his friends. He was serious. He would have gone to the 12th floor of that building and hung somebody out a window. Well, I got saved in October of 88. I left New York in 1990. I lost track of Mario, and I went back in 96, and I went looking for him. And I went down to a local hangout that a lot of the actors had coffee at in New York, not too far from Screen Actors Guild, and I asked anybody if they'd seen Mario, because I wanted to talk to him. What I wanted to do is I wanted to tell him what had happened to me and share the Lord. And they said, oh, didn't you hear? Mario died last month from lung cancer. Mario was a smoker. I held it together while I was with them. But when I got back to where I was staying, bitterly, because I'd waited too long. I'd waited too long to go share with him what the Lord had done for me. I wasn't ready in season and out. I wasn't prepared whether the time was favorable or not, because I had seen Mario in those 2 years that I was still in New York, but the timing was never right. Are you ready? Are you prepared? I wasn't. Why do you need to be ready? And I thought about this. This visual came to me. I'm a very visual person. And I started thinking about this. If I was going to ride a bike or jog or go for a walk in the early morning hours when it was still dark, what would I need? Well, I'd need some kind of reflective material to be seen in the darkness. We need some reflective material to be seen in the darkness. Because that deep darkness in Isaiah 60, as I explained in my book, is the same Hebrew word twice. It's a darkness deeper than ever seen before. And in that darkness, anything that reflects light will take whatever little bit of light there is and reflect it into that darkness. And we know that darkness is simply the absence of light, and will shine it and disperse it. Yeshua spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's in John 8:12. But we need to back up. You see, if we go back to the beginning of John, he's on the Mount of Olives. It's early in the morning. He comes to the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down, and he talked to them. Isn't that great? Think about this. They didn't talk sports. They didn't talk about bread. They didn't talk about the trouble they were having with their flocks. He taught them. Every opportunity he had, he taught them. It's the same thing the Spirit does with us now. Every opportunity he has, he teaches us. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and they set her in the midst. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Yeshua stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And depending upon whose commentary it was, he was writing their names and their sins. He was writing the law on the ground, one of which being, if she was caught in adultery, where are the witnesses so they could be stoned that saw the sex act? And where is the man that was with her? And well, I don't know what he was writing in the ground. And they continued to ask him, and he raised himself up and he said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And then he stooped down and he wrote on the ground again. And those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And that's why I believe he was writing down the law. He was writing down the scripture, and they were in violation of the scripture, and they themselves should be stoned. But that's just my opinion. And Yeshua was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. And Yeshua raised himself up, and he saw no one but the woman. And he said to a woman, "Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Yeshua said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He didn't say she wasn't doing wrong, because he said, "Go and sin no more." He said that she was sinning. Stop doing that. Stop doing what you were doing. He offered her grace. He could have condemned her. He didn't. He could have condemned all the men standing before him because they were in violation of the law. I understand grace. I understand wanting to hear grace. I understand wanting to hear that in this world, but these feel-good preachers, these false teachers will tell you everything is good when it's not. They won't mention the Lord or the Bible. That's why people can sit in their pews, live the lives that they live, come under no conviction, and leave the place the same way they came in sin, in bondage, and lost. Maybe you don't like what I have to say. Like I said, I've jokingly watched the numbers drop as we've made the path a little narrower, as we've gotten into more red letters, as we've been uncompromising in the word. But that's okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to do my best to help you, to save you, to heal you, to walk with you, and to fight with you. See, I believe that the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and I don't believe it's a halogen that shines all the way down the highway. I believe it's like the lamp that they held in their hands so that they could walk one step at a time. You have to get into the word. You have to read the word from beginning to end. Don't get caught up in specific sections that justify your choices. When the Pharisees heard Yeshua, there was one time he silenced the Sadducees, and the Pharisees heard him. So they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And I can almost see him pulling on his beard and fluffing up his robe and making sure his tallit's in place. And Yeshua said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And let me say this to those that still try to live by the law. First of all, you can't. Second of all, if you miss one aspect of the law, you miss it all. And if you do anything under the law, but you have not love, if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, your wife, your husband, your kids, your brothers, your sisters in the Lord, if there's no love in you, then you have failed miserably. See, where the Holy Spirit is, there's love. It's the one thing that hooks the gifts and the fruit together. John 5:30, the Lord says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father, of the Father who sent me. We need to be light. And I've sat here, letting the Spirit speak to me and tell me what he wanted from his heart. My sense in my own limited understanding, because of course I have a finite mind, is that we're too distracted by all the nonsense of the world. Right now on ESPN, I think it is, sometime tonight, they'll give an award to a man that now claims to be a woman because of how brave he was to do that. And Christians are up in arms and people are up in arms. And I was offended and got caught up in it. But the truth is, who cares? It doesn't matter. That man has to stand before God all by himself and explain his choices. We're distracted by that. We're distracted by social media. We're distracted by arguments over flags. We're distracted by this and we're distracted by that. And we have missed the point. Go into all the world, make disciples, set the captives free, love those who are unlovable, tell them about the love of the Lord. We are caught. The enemy is a master manipulator. And I think the Spirit's focus is to remind us of the love of the Lord, to set the captives free. Do not compromise in the word. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to do anything that the word tells you not to do. But I'm also telling you to keep your heart and your mind, your soul and your spirit, and your focus on him. He came as a light into the world that whoever believed in him should not abide in darkness. And if anyone heard his words and did not believe, he did not judge them, because he didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. Those who reject him reject his words, and they've judged themselves. When they stand before him, they have judged themselves. Our goal, my goal, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. I said this to somebody once. Well, I don't want you to know if we work together, I don't want to get caught up in all the preaching and the teaching and the evangelizing. And I said to this individual, I said, let me be blunt. I really don't care what you do. I don't care whether you want to fly in heaven or swim in the lake of fire. I don't care. But I know my Father cares. And I will tell you the truth in love. And what you do with that is on you. And after I've told you the truth, I'm going to walk away. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over what you do, because it's on you. If I've told you the truth, you can't say nobody told you. And the time will come where you will stand before him and he will remind you of when I told you. And you will know that you chose where you will spend eternity. And that person got really quiet and the argument about evangelizing stopped right there. Because the truth is, all I can do is tell them the truth in love and keep going. We are called to love one another. And if we love one another, we have fulfilled the law. That's Romans 13:8. Oh yeah, the commandments say, shall not commit adultery, shall not murder, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not covet. And those are still in effect. I believe the Ten Commandments are. But we shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll love your wife or your husband as yourself, and you won't commit adultery, you won't murder, you won't steal, you won't bear false witness. See, proper behavior is based on love. I love the Lord, therefore I want to do these things. See, love does no harm. Love is the fulfillment of everything. But here we are, folks, Romans 13, verse 11, knowing the time that is now high time to awake out of sleep, out of slumber. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. In other words, to take the theme of reflections in the dark, wake up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. What are we going to do? Getting back to the beginning, are we prepared? And here I will give you the answer to that question. No, we are not. No, we are not. We're not prepared. I don't think I'm prepared. And I probably spend more in time in prayer than most of you. I probably spend more time with the Lord and the Holy Spirit than most of you. And I don't say that to exalt myself or to condemn you, just simply because I have that time and that's what he's asked of me. But I don't think I'm prepared. I'm distracted by the cares of this world. And I hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I hunger and thirst to be free of the cares of this world, to do what he's called me to do, to set the captives free, to shine the light into the darkness, to be the shepherds, the sheepdogs of the great shepherd, and go chase some wolves and protect the flock. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there. Right now, somewhere, somebody's sleeping on a park bench or in an alleyway or in a darkness. Right now, somewhere, some young girl, a young boy, young woman, a young man is doing something that they never thought that they would do. For money, for love, for attention, for drugs. In case you haven't noticed, we live in a fallen world. Don't give me this religious nonsense about who the God of this world is. The God of this world is Hasatani, Satan, and he rules it. Because we, the church, have not done what we were supposed to do to set the captives free, to go, to make disciples. Oh, there are some. They go into the inner cities. They go into the streets. They deal with the homeless. They deal with those. No, the majority of what we call the body is satisfied to sit in a plush pew somewhere, to listen to the music, to look at the lights, the smoke in the mirrors, sit there for 2 hours, rah-rah, up and down, hands around, and think they did something. I know, I used to be one of them. Go to church on Sunday, go to church on Wednesday. If the doors are open, we're there. Oh, praise and worship was really anointed. The Holy Spirit showed up today. I look back in those comments and wish somebody had slapped me. The Holy Spirit's always with us. And we saw and felt the manifestation of the Spirit. That didn't mean that he showed up. It meant that we did. I don't know. I hope I'm getting through to some of you. Write me. Go to supernaturalresponse.net, on solomonsport.org. That's not working right now. Go to Firefall Talk Radio and just fill out the comment. You can email me. Let me know. There is a frustrating aspect of ministry, especially this kind of ministry, is hoping that you're getting through to people. Because the darkness isn't coming, it's here. The days of Noah are upon us. The fallen are putting the world back the way it was before they went into prison. So it's just like it was when they come out. And the arguments over rapture, pre-trib, post-here trib, there a trib, everywhere a trib, trib, old MacArthur has a book, E-I-E-I-O. Enough. 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 You better hope there's a pre-trib, but if there's not, just do the job. Like Kathy, tell your friends, tell your loved one, tell them the truth. Don't thump them with the Bible. Don't come at them hard with your religiosity. Show them the love of the Lord that he showed you. Let's pray. Father, I come to you now. As I said in the beginning, heartbroken. And not just for those being persecuted, but for your children, some of whom who are listening. They have no understanding, so I ask right now for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. I ask for clarity in their lives, Lord, so they can focus on you and do what you ask them to do. Holy Spirit, I ask you, I humbly beseech you to open up the eyes of our enlightenment. Open us up, heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Touch those areas that need to be touched. Tweak what needs to be tweaked. Correct what needs to be corrected. And rebuke what needs to be rebuked by the word with teaching. I pray for the young ones that are listening, Lord, that they would become mighty pillars of light. They would become mighty pillars of the fire of God and the love of the Lord to lead the people home, to heal their wounds, to set the captives free. I pray right now each and every one of us, Lord, would be soaked in the oil like Peter was when he came out of the upper room. He was soaked in oil and he began to burn immediately. I pray that we would burn, the fire of the Holy Spirit, that we would burn the gifts, that we would burn the fruit, that we would be beacons of safety, lighthouses in the storm for this dark, dangerous, demonic world, so that people would know, hey, that person knows Yeshua, that person knows Jesus, maybe they can help me. And when they come to you, don't spout scripture, don't spout titles, don't get caught up in the show. Open your heart to them. Tell them the truth in love. Maybe they just need a hug. Maybe they just need somebody to listen and say, hey, I care. Father, let those of us who want to help be able to help. Let those of us who want to give have the provision to give. Let those of us who want to go be able to go, to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. The lame would walk, the deaf would hear, the blind would see, and people would shout, the signs of the Messiah are here again. That repentance would come into this land. Everybody wants revival, but nobody wants repentance. And one can't come without the other. Help us, Lord. Help us with your spirit. Help us with your love. Help us. Fill us with the word right now. I pray that as the sound of my voice goes out, live or recorded, that you would take the word, that you would take the spirit, and you would imprint it upon the hearts and the minds of those that hear it. And that they would hear and remember what you said and forget anything that was not of you. We love you, Lord. We lift our voice. We lift our hearts. We lift everything up to you. We lift up hands to you. And we praise you. Rain down upon us, Lord. Refresh us. Fill us to overflowing. Press down, shake together. Let it run out upon us so that we can give to others. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you for this time. I thank you for doing this with me for your glory, for the kingdom. All touch and agree. We would come together as one voice wherever we are, and we would say, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.